listening to 101.9 CITR FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. You're tuned in to What's the Story, where we dig into a new musical subject or genre every other week, and we play some songs to go along with the theme. So February, as I'm sure everyone's aware, is Black History Month, so for my first show of the month, I wanted to create some programming in keeping with that. The idea of Black History Month goes back to 1926 with Carter G. Woodson, who spearheaded a Black History Week. In the 70s, it was adopted in the States, and in 1995, Canada also formally recognized Black History Month as well. The purpose of observing Black History Month is to remember and celebrate the achievements of Black people, as they've historically been whitewashed and attributed to others, and also just wiped from the narratives. The music industry is no exception to this, and actually quite the opposite. It's really been one of the most visible platforms for white folks to steal the culture of Black folks. I could dedicate a whole episode to the way in which rock and roll and virtually all genres that came out of it were taken from African American music, meaning that all white folks in America who made their careers in 20th century rock and pop really had to thank the Black people who came before them. It's a really interesting topic, and I might cover that at another point, but today, we'll get into that a teensy bit, because the topic for today is Motown. One of the most influential and important achievements in the history of music, and it was created by a Black man by the name of Berry Gordy Jr. in Detroit, Michigan in 1959. Classic Motown is all old stuff, and they were all huge artists, so I'm gonna kind of avoid that for the most part, and I'm gonna play just a few Motown proper songs and then move into some more contemporary, less widely known artists after. Motown, if you're unaware, probably the most important indie record label of all time. It also took on a kind of generic meaning too, meaning that it was a label, but then it kind of became its own genre. All the artists produced under the label at the beginning had a very distinct and homogenous sound. Motown Records is now a subsidiary of UMG, but at the beginning, it was a small independent label working out of a two-story house in 2648 West Grand Boulevard, Detroit. It had a flashy banner reading Hitsville, USA. You should look up a picture of that because I think it's a really cute image. Before we get into the history of Motown too much, let's just play a song to get us kind of acclimatized to the sound, understand what the vibe is a little bit. If you're listening now, I can almost guarantee you've heard Motown before and will recognize the sound right off the bat, but just for the sake of mood setting, here is What Does It Take to Win Your Love by Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Thank you.
For some musical context around this time, jazz and big band swing was pretty much falling out of popularity, and instead came rock and roll, with the likes of Elvis Presley and Buddy Holly, and the Black Stars, Chuck Berry, and Little Richard. Music by Black artists was not preferable to the industry or to the listenership of America, and it was referred to as race music. And though Little Richard still holds up as possibly the single most important figure in rock music, his songs would be covered by literally every white artist on the bill. Elvis, like I mentioned, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, the Everly Brothers, the Kinks, and it didn't stop. The Beatles and CCR would do it too, to the point where their versions are widely thought to be the originals, which is so frustrating, because Little Richard is one of my favorite artists, and it's just ridiculous that in most cases, the money paid in cover fees went to the label and not to the artist, so they never saw a penny for it. I haven't found an instance where this isn't the case, but I'll just hedge myself and say most. Pat Boone was especially prolific in this kind of theft. He was a white artist, and his versions of Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame, it hit number one, while the original black singer only got his version to number 10, which is also really annoying because Fats Domino is an amazing artist as well. Boone's Tutti Frutti went to number 12, while Little Richard's only got to 17. This is a super insidious aspect of the music industry that really deserves its own episode, so I'll think about covering that another time because I really could go into depth about that, but we'll leave it for now. All this to say, race music, quote unquote, was not looked upon highly. And even though the most popular songs of the 50s were by black artists or stolen from them. This is exactly why there was a need for a black-owned and operated record label that would allow black artists agency over their own image and to be represented by other black people who actually could provide some leverage in the industry. This and the fact that the major record companies were not as interested in the R&B market, which was really growing in popularity in inner cities especially, so R&B soul artists were therefore picked up by indie labels almost exclusively. Let's do one more classic Motown song, one of my favorites. This is a song called You Beat Me to the Punch by Mary Wells and co-written by Smokey Robinson, who was Motown's first star. He was signed by Berry Gordy when he was only 19. Here's Mary Wells. Welcome back to 101.9 CITR FM. If you're just joining us now, this is What's the Story, the show where we explore a new musical story each week. Today, for my very first show of Black History Month, I thought it would be cool to talk about Motown. We left off talking about the musical context that Motown came out of in the late 1950s in Detroit. Now, even though there was an economic market and a social need for it, the idea of a Black-owned business becoming as prominent as Motown did in 1959 in Detroit, kind of wild. The Civil Rights Act hadn't even passed yet at that point. It passed in 1964. So to give some social context, the creation of Motown Records, which is an homage to Detroit's nickname, Motor City, came placed almost perfectly between two massive riots in the city. The riot in 1953, which lasted 3 days, was in retaliation to racial segregation, ghettoization, systemic poverty, police brutality, the KKK's massive presence, and so much more racist BS. The riot in 1967, also called the Detroit Rebellion, this one lasted 5 days, and it was one of the most violent in U.S. history. 43 people were killed, 342 people injured, 7,200 arrested, and 2,500 buildings were looted, damaged, or destroyed. And 7,000 National Guard were deployed. This was in response to the exact same things, which evidently had not gotten better, but worse. Riots and social unrest never stopped, though, not in the powder keg of Detroit, where Black and white people were tightly packed into this urban center that was also on the economic decline, and also just in a super racist country. So after the 1967 rebellion, Lyndon Johnson commissioned an investigation into its causes, and basically he concluded, it's because the whites are the worst. In his own words, he says, "White racism is essentially responsible for the explosive mixture which has been accumulating in our cities since the end of World War II." So in conclusion, the sociocultural tone in America was really discriminatory and hateful. Yet the Black-owned record company thrived, and the Black artists prevailed, prospered, and permeated the culture that tried so hard to stifle them, which is why I thought this would be a very fitting topic for this month's discussion of Black excellence. Next up, I wanted to play a song by a contemporary Motown Records artist. They're still signing artists today, and this is a song by Joy Denalane. While we're on the topic of classic Motown, I thought that her song Top of My Love would be fitting because it really does embody that old school R&B soul sound. So here we go.
Something I chose.
Let's get into the characteristics of the Motown sound, because it wasn't just a label, it really did come to embody a full genre on its own, especially in the 1960s. With that, you would expect a strong percussion section in the form of an easily bopped to beat, lots of hand clapping and backup vocalists. Both of those elements are quite reminiscent of gospel. Tambourines were used heavily, and also a prominent horn feature and driving bass lines. As much as the content of Old Motown wasn't always groundbreaking, the musicality sure was. The label had a wildly talented house band called the Funk Brothers, who were known for their complex chord progressions and irregular rhythms. Motown also employed the team of Holland Dozier Holland to songwrite for many of their artists, and this admittedly meant that there was some repetition, but in the golden years of the early 60s, they really had it down to a science. They even employed this motto, KISS, keep it simple, stupid, which is pretty similar to how we produce pop music today. All of that's pretty, sounds pretty familiar. I love listening to old Motown tracks and noting the difference in mixing and sound quality. They actually mixed records strategically so that they would sound good on car radios, which explains why it sounds a bit odd coming out of my iPhone. The most obvious genre characteristic, however, is the fact that Motown was a label for Black America by Black America. Now, obviously, the music was popular not just for Black audiences, but the intention was there to carve out this space just for them to express their culture authentically and not have it be reappropriated or robbed by white folks. And that's just my take on how to classify Motown, but if you don't want to take it from me, take it from Smokey Robinson, who says, people would listen to it and they'd say, aha, they use more bass, or they use more drums. BS. When we were first successful with it, people were coming from Germany, France, Italy, Mobile, Alabama, from New York, Chicago, California, just everywhere, just to record in Detroit. They figured it was in the air, that if they came to Detroit and recorded on the freeway, they'd get the Motown sound. Listen, the Motown sound to me is not an audible sound, it's spiritual, and it comes from the people who make it happen. What other people didn't realize is that we had just one studio there, but we recorded in Chicago, Nashville, New York, LA, almost every big city, and we still got the sound. Let's break for a song from a modern-day Motown signee, and since I don't really want to play a golden oldies hour, so I need to warn you that these songs to come are not really like Motown the genre, but more Motown the label today, and I just feel that's a bit more relevant and in keeping with CITR's programming. If you want to hear more of classic Motown, I have compiled a playlist, and that's going to have some of my favorites of old school Motown, which I will link on the podcast version of this episode. You can check that out by going to CITR.ca and searching What's the Story. So, with that in mind, here's a more recent Motown song from 2021. This is Hindsight by Emmanuel.
I've never seen someone quite as beautiful as you. Hey, never seen someone, yeah, move so freely like you do. Time is therapy at the right climate. Hot water, cold shining. Hot water, tones blessing. Fire burning on your last. Hindsight was in 2020. I need that money, money. Thank you. back because the need to practice my flirtations ain't gonna go nowhere. Fresh like Prince of Bel-Air, a new occasion with you. It's all I need. Every time I see your face, I say the same damn thing. You're not as beautiful as you.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
Welcome back to 101.9 CITR-FM, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. You are tuned into What's the Story, and today we're digging into the history of Motown in observation of Black History Month. To continue where we left off with the describing the sound of the Motown genre, I also wanted to list off some of the key players, and I'm sure many will ring a bell whether or not you've actually, like, actively listened to them. In the 1960s, which was really the heyday of Motown, we had Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, who were the label's first star. The Supremes, who were their biggest act of the decade. They were actually the second biggest band of the 60s after the Beatles, and still one of the most successful, I think if not the most successful, female singing groups of all time. There's also The Temptations, Gladys Knight and the Pips. I love them. I've got some old records from theirs. Marvin Gaye, The Four Tops, and The Contours. Edwin Starr, that's just to name a few from the 1960s. From a Vancouver perspective, which is where CITR is based, a really cool Motown act that I didn't know about was Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers. Taylor was credited with mentoring the Jackson 5, kind of crazy, and one of the Vancouvers was Tommy Chong, as in Cheech and Chong, which is just so funny. Another member was Ted Lewis of Jefferson Airplane and the Temptations. Like, what is going on? I just couldn't believe that that existed in the same universe as me. In the 1970s, they signed the Commodores, Jackson 5, and assorted other Jacksons. Diana Ross, who was formerly a member of the Supremes. In the 90s and 2000s, they took on neo-soul. They signed Erykah Badu and India Arie. And more recently, a completely different generation of Motown. Lil Yachty, Lil Baby, Migos, DaBaby, all just to name a few. There's so many. If you go to the actual Motown website, they have them all listed. So let's jump into another track. I can hardly play any of those names that I just mentioned. That's also not really CITR's vibe to play such huge stadium artists. So I went through literally every single Motown signed artist from the past few years. It took a whole day, listened to all their music, and I picked out some of the fewest, some with the fewest Spotify monthly listeners, so I can show you some just a little bit more indie stuff. I mean, Motown's a massive label now, but there were some smaller artists. So here's one called These Boys by Cam Wallace.
Hold up, the fuck can they tell me I grew up? Straight out the slum, out the sewer. Sexy little body, need two of. They know it costs to come play with me. Trying to get signed to my agency. Fight a backwood and get faded, please. These boys ain't all who they claim to be. These boys don't drip like the kitchen sink. These boys don't say shit to make you think. These boys don't come through and kill a scene. These boys don't say what the fuck they mean. These boys be gone in a blink. These boys be gone in a jiffy. Way too high blowing on piffy. These boys ain't dressing like me. This outfit that I'm wearing a mystery. Searching hard trying to find how to get it. Your outfit is an F and an F. It do not stand for Fendi. I'll fucking forget it. Took three shots, now I'm leaning, I'm tipsy. 1942 pouring up history. Hee hee ha, now I'm feeling like missing. Other words, it's all hits and no misses. All this water, fuck around and go fishing. I'm still carving my sound out. Your shit, I'ma drown out. I just do not see competition. Continue big stepping in Christians. My neck be lit up like Christmas. This real VVS is so tuck in your necklace. I promise we telling the difference. These boys ain't ready, I'm weedy. Stuffing big racks in my skinnies. I just be minding my business. Your bitch trying to screenshot my image. She love when I talk to her dirty. I make her finish the sentence. Who said you burn out after 30? Just getting started up early. Killing, she guilty to verdict. Might fuck up a chick, I'm perverted. Track hot whipping, I'm swerving. I crank up the motor, you heard it. I crank up the motor, you heard it. These boys ain't all that they claim to be. These boys don't drip like the kitchen sink. These boys don't say what the fuck they mean. These boys don't come through and kill a scene. I'm living life like I'm in a dream. The girl ain't my lover, she Billie Jean. I brought out the ice and the kerosene. I play with the elements just for the hell of it. Quarterback running play for the team. I am the boss, I'm who running things. Candy paint drop, I just got it clean. Even from miles away, you can see the gleam. Keep it calm and collected, don't make a scene. In control of the play, I be pulling strings. Had to chop off the top on the European. Took off quick, do the numbers, run up the streams. Bitch, I get paid like the money team. Bitch, I'ma shine like 100 beams. Don't gotta ask it, just come to me. Gallery department on my dungarees. Hold up, the fuck can they tell me I grew up? Straight out the slum, out the sewer. Sexy little body, need two of them. They know it costs to come play with me. Keep trying to get signed to my agency. Fight a backwood and get faded, please. These boys ain't all who they claim to be. These boys don't drill like the kitchen sink. These boys don't say shit that make you think. These boys don't come through and kill a scene. These boys don't say what the fuck they mean. These boys be gone in a blink. These boys be gone in a jiffy. Way too hot blowing on piffy. These boys ain't dressing like me. Put on that shit, I'm too spiffy. This outfit that I'm wearing a mystery. Searching hard, trying to find how to get it. Your outfit is an F and that F and do not stand for 50. I fucking forget it.
Gotta do what's best for me. Am I selfish? I can't help it. Can't help it. Nowadays, I just gotta protect my peace. Am I selfish? I can't help it. Can't help it. Wake up and I tell myself I'm amazing. Tell myself that I'm worthy. I put too many negative thoughts in my mind. Until I realize they ain't serve me. I deserve everything life has to offer. I give my fans my life like an author. I give my wife my life and now I'm off her. I even give my life to Christ at the altar. Feel like I exhausted myself. Was often faulted for the God I am. I think I almost lost it, but I held it down. No, held it up. I can't be feeling, bruh. Too many years I had to hear them people telling us. We wasn't good enough, great enough, wasn't well enough. But I had ignored that. I can't absorb that. Cause I got purpose and I gotta do what's best for me. Am I selfish? I can't help it. I can't help it. Nowadays I just gotta protect my peace. Am I selfish? I can't help it. I can't help it.
Yeah. believe I'm overdue. Driving speed in all pursuit. Found my demons on the loose. I'ma need a longer noose. Tired of fleeing, call the truce. Tired of being off with all my timing. Tired of being low so long I'm climbing. Tired of feeling lost, exhausted. I am burdened by the weight of my objective. Body following my mind directives. Carrots dangle, tracking my incentives. Fuck the game and use the contraceptives. Did the game fuck me? I don't know. Fame is so lusty. Used to have lust, a coat in my soul. Now I feel rusty, born to die slow. Where the time go? Used to enjoy it though. Weightless like I'm buoyant though. Chain swing like the drums, ho. Shameless, you enjoy it though. Painless if I detach, but a pain hit when I relapse. Do I fear that? Oh no. No, I fear me, sincerely.
And I gotta do what's best for me. Am I selfish? I can't help it. I can't help it. Nowadays I just gotta protect my peace. Am I selfish? Can't help it. I can't help it.
Hey, welcome back. You just heard These Boys by Cam Wallace, and then after that was Selfish by Price, a couple contemporary Motown signing artists. So a discourse surrounding Motown that I think is pretty important to bring up is the question of whitewashing in Motown. I wanted to present the opinion of a Black reporter just to help give some context for this, because I don't really have that authority to speak on this. I can present some opinions, but I think it'd be good to balance it out. So in her article with Bet.com, Danielle Ransom presents the idea that while people figured Motown was whitewashed, i.e. making Black music more palatable and watered down so that white people could enjoy it, she said this ignores the history of pop music and how historically Black artists were pushed aside while white artists who appropriated their culture gained the popularity off their backs instead, like what we were talking about with Pat Boone versus Little Richard, Elvis Presley's whole career, and all that stuff we were talking about. So Ransom talks about how Motown popularized Black music and Black culture by Black artists and with Black representation for Black people. It was really carving out a special space where Black people could see themselves represented, but it could also bring it to the table for other races. White people loved it too. So she said that the widespread popularity cross-racially of Motown's biggest stars really pushed white people to dig deeper into Black artists, and that opened the door for more to come, but also gave appreciation for Chuck Berry and Little Richard, people of the past who pioneered rock and roll music and weren't always given their due credit. She argued that this broke racial barriers and brought people together through music, which exposed sheltered white people to the people whose culture spawned all of the music that they like to listen to anyways through the mouths of other white people. And that's a really good point, but I do just want to also point out that it wasn't all peace, love, and cultural appreciation. It was still the 60s, mind you, and Berry Gordy, who was, again, the owner of Motown Records, had to make significant sacrifices to get the music out there. The marketing department did have to hire some, like, white folks, and they had to make cuts to ensure sales. For example, they would put white couples on the Isley Brothers albums, and also they would just kind of, at the beginning, avoid putting Black bodies on the sleeves of the records if they could. The industry in Detroit was also very resistant to booking Black artists, so much so that Gordy had to eventually just buy a venue himself, which is really depressing because they were making the sales that would warrant a performance in a venue, and they would have enough, they had enough money as a record label to buy a venue. So obviously people enjoyed the music. It was just a really bigoted time. When he got his artist on the Ed Sullivan Show and at big venues in the city, they needed to be trained to talk a certain way and act a certain way so that they could enter the mainstream, which is something we still see today. This kind of tightrope, if to use like feminist theories, language that Gordy had to walk and that the artist had to walk to put out that Black music to a racist America, it was so treacherous, and he really had to fight bitterly against things that would not be in the best interest marketing wise. One of those things that he fought bitterly against was Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. He thought it was too political, which is really upsetting because it ended up being, I think Rolling Stone rated it the best album of all time just a few years ago, and I agree. I think a lot of people agree with that. So to think of all the creativity that could have been stifled because there simply they were worried about the profitability of it. Pretty sad. In hindsight, this kind of did begin the end of Motown's golden years, though. Berry Gordy was focusing on L.A. He went out there and was producing much more over there than in Detroit. And pushing against these kind of political statements. So only so much longevity in that. But what Motown accomplished was breaking the divide between so-called race music and etc., everything else. Genres of soul and R&B were popularized by Motown, and music by black artists and record labels were now popular music and given a space in the mainstream. Let's hit some more tracks, starting with a band called Fire in Little Africa. The group is dedicated to commemorating the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, where as many as 300 were killed in a white supremacist riot. Here's their song, which was recorded actually in the former home of Tate Brady, who was a KKK leader and partial instigator of the massacre. Here's their song, City of Dreams.
I smell smoke.
I had a dream, it was May 29th. I was sitting in a cell, devil playing with my life. Now attention getting high, I can feel it in the night. If I'm wrong, if I'm right, I won't go without a fight. Yeah, I had a dream, it was May 29th. I was sitting in a cell, devil playing with my life. Now attention getting high, I can feel it in the night. If I'm wrong, if I'm right, we won't go without a fight. Well, I was born in the belly of the bottom of the map. Moved up to the city of dreams, brand new ring on my pinky gap. Greenwood Arch and Pine, where I spend my time on the nitty north side of the tracks. And maybe downtown, where I shine so bright that they calling me Diamond Jack. I'm Nick JB, strapped for the shining. I could be way more than that with some time in Greenwood, nigga, we paid our dues. We built ours after we created jars. I'd be damned if I ever be a slave to y'all. I feel like Wayman, I came to bar. Walk with pride, no shame at all. Pinky blinking, chains and all. We winning now when it's strange to y'all. But no matter how many wins you get, they still won't let you take a sip from one of their fountains, take a shit in one of their restrooms. So I marched my ass to 319 South Main Street, Drexel. Ever since I walked through those two doors that day, it's been regretful. That's the same spot that I met you, and it was right there that we formed a bond, forbidden based off complexion. But you would tie me off on the top floor every day, a part of my schedule. Now I wish that I never let you, cause you flipped the script like a bitch, and now my life twisted just like a press. Thought that it was love, thought that it was special. I can feel my blood boiling through my vessels. Label me a thug, say I tried to rape, throw me in the cage, now I got a case. Diamond dick rolling on the front page, say try to kill Lil Sir Page. Don't believe that hype they put in your face. Ain't about me, this about race, this about rage, this about hate. Niggas wanna take control of our space, but we ain't going, this is our place. All my niggas soldiers like about face. Black Wall Street, we ain't trying here. We ain't even trying to let you crack us near. Even if we dying, we ain't never fearing. Motherfuckers never killing our spirit. Town.
I had a dream. It was May 29th. I was sitting in a cell, devil playing with my life. Now attention getting high, I can feel it in the night. If I'm wrong, if I'm right, I won't go without a fight. Hey, I had a dream. It was May 29th. I was sitting in a cell, devil playing with my life. Now attention getting high, I can feel it in the night. If I'm wrong, if I'm right, we won't go without a fight.
Yeah, I had a dream. It was May 29th. I was chilling back with Sarah. Everything was still alright. Then they brought my city down. And they did it out of spite. We ain't go without a fight. We ain't go without a fight.
Is it cause I get dope? Is that the reason why you mad at me? Is it cause I get more than you? Is that the reason why you mad at me? Yeah. Ain't the way my soul glows. More than Afro Sheen. Is that why you mad at me? Is it cause I get dark? Is it
cause I get dark?
The reason why you mad at me? Is it cause I get more?
Step right up, let me show you why this the best shine that you're gonna get all year. And they don't call me Diamond Dick Rolling for no reason. So shiny you can see your face in it.
Yes, Lord, that's why
you
shine.
You mad at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit off, baby. Told you you my favorite. Do me this one favor.
Turn me up a little bit.
I could put you up on the latest. Tell me how it to be upgraded. Cause the last nigga had you jaded. Yeah. But I've been thinking different about it. I'm pulling up, I'm feeling now. I got a fear missing out. I might just take a different route. Yeah, yeah, but I've been thinking different about you. After all this time you've been around, we go crazy like a couple screws loose. But can you take it how you dish it out? But you said, don't question. As long as there's a connection, you taught me a lesson. There's no such thing as perfection. This love is not a weapon. Feels more like protection. Found a good thing. Is she crazy? I know. But I've been thinking different about it.
I've been thinking different about it.
I'm pulling up, I'm feeling now. I got a fear missing out. I might just take a different route. Yeah, yeah. But I've been thinking different about you. After all this time you've been around, we go crazy like a couple screws loose. But can you take it how you dish it out?
I made the move right out the blue. I made some time for you. I said it's nothing. Make the call, I'm coming through. I'm room for two, I'm giving you this love, yeah. But you said, don't question. As long as there's a connection, you taught me a lesson. There's no such thing as perfection. No, no.
I'm pulling up, I'm feeling now. I got a fear missing out. I might just take a different route. Yeah, yeah, but I've been thinking different about you. After all this time you've been around, we go crazy like a couple screws loose. But can you take it how you dish it out?
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
If you attended a federal Indian Day school, now is your time to make your claim. If you experience harm at your school, you may be eligible to receive a check for compensation. Remember, you need to make your claim before July 13th, 2022. See if your school is on the list and get free legal help. Start at IndianDayschools.com or call 1-844-539-3815. Claim what's yours.
Hey, welcome back. You just heard City of Dreams by Fire and Little Africa, and then after that was FOMO by Ilhay. So you might be asking, what was the legacy of Motown, and what does it look like today? This was a record label started in the 1950s, and it's still around today with contemporary signees being added all the time. Stylistically, it's pretty much unrecognizable, as you've heard with some of the songs I've played recently compared to some of those old-school Motown tracks that we all know. They signed SoundCloud rappers like Lil Yachty, and that's really become their bread and butter of the label. Migos is probably their biggest contemporary artist, and that really brought Motown Records back into the 21st century. That's also got the label focusing on Atlanta instead of Detroit. There's lots of artists coming out of Atlanta, and that's kind of really their sound that they're going for right now. There's less of a gospel-style sound now, and some new stylistic characteristics of modern Motown, Motown the label, or trap beats, and the art of wordplay and rap. As always, though, Motown represents style and cultural icons, as they did back in the day. It's kind of really a half of what it is, because it can't be distinguished by genre anymore. So this is probably still the biggest element of what defines a Motown act. It's the sound of young America, which was their original tagline back in the 60s and still rings true today. And of course, they celebrate Black excellence and artistry. Danielle Ransom says in the Bet article how the legacy of Motown is that it lives through the dominance and contemporary genres such as rap, which currently is the most popular genre in the US. In other words, popular music is culturally Black music, and this is still thanks to the bedrock that Motown established. When we come back, I'll give you the local concert listings for the next couple weeks, but I hope you like this Motown edition of the show. Here's one last song from a modern Motown artist, Malachi. This is Free My Soul.
Out of control, I just been freeing my soul, yeah, I know this world could be cold, so I'm living life out trust, yeah, I'm coming and breaking news, and also I'm breaking the rules, yeah, hopping the whip and we cruise, we're driving with nothing to do, you wanna live that life, you wanna go all night, you wanna touch the sky, but we got nothing but time, so baby, roll the dice, I wanna make a new dance, I wanna set all the trends too, yeah. I wanna run up the bands, I wanna see what them bands do, yeah. Should I do Bali or friends, and I don't know what depends, ooh, yeah. I'm good at taking a chance, like I got nothing to lose, you wanna live that life, you wanna go all night, you wanna touch the sky, but we got nothing but time, so baby, roll the dice. Going out of control, I just been freeing my soul, yeah, lately I've been in my zone, feel like I'm on top of the globe, yeah, making them big money moves, and also enjoying the view, yeah, hopping the whip and we cruise, we're driving with nothing to do, you wanna live that life, you wanna go all night, you wanna touch the sky, but we got nothing but time, so baby, roll the dice. Trends too, yeah. I wanna run up the bands, I wanna see what them bands do, yeah. Should I do Bali or friends, and I don't know what depends, ooh, yeah. I'm good at taking a chance, like I got nothing to lose, you wanna live that life, you wanna go all night, you wanna touch the sky, but we got nothing but time, so baby, roll the dice.
Okay, events for tonight, February 11th, that's a Friday. At the MOTN, there's Izzy Senadizi and their band, also Yuckhead. I know that I just saw this has been sold out on Instagram, but people are always reselling tickets. So just if you're really keen to go to that, I'm sure you could message the bands or organizer. Then also at the Portside Pub tonight, we have Sunny and the Dudes, Alexandra Beck, and Shane Stewart. Also happening this weekend, Saturday, February 12th, there's just one show, The Lily Dippers, Vogue Villains, Dansky, and Naked by the Fire. Then happening next week, we've got a lot of shows happening on Thursday, February 17th, which is a bit strange, but at the Rickshaw, there's Strange Breed, Parlor Panther, and Wrong. We've also got a show at Kerner's Pub. That's going to be Farhaven and Rosemary Ginger. Going to be a rock-type evening, also like indie R&B sort of synthy stuff going down. At Red Gate, also on February 17th, Magnolia, Charles Mansion, Nigel Young Band, and Izzy Senadizi. Then lastly, I believe, on Thursday, February 17th, there's Lamb's Breath, Matthew St. John, and 29 East. Next up on Friday, February the 18th, we have a show at the Portside Pub with Pure Steve, Introduce Wolves, and Each Other's Mothers. Also on that same Friday at Redgate is a Kid Monday release party and guests of Kid Mondays. Then lastly, for Friday, February 18th at the Rickshaw, there's a show with Biff Naked, Devours, and Girl Circus. That should be a good show. Next, on Saturday, February 19th, there's a show that I'm stoked about at the Fox Cabaret with Melt and Babe Corner. That'll be a sick one. There's also a show at the Portside Pub on that Saturday, February the 19th, with Color Tongues, St. James Affair, and Friction Project. And then lastly, we have another little random Thursday one, February 24th, at the Portside Pub. This is going to be Littlefoot, Co-Conspirators, and Lee Nichols. So that's all I've got at the moment, but I update the listings. I post them all on the podcast version of this episode. So if you go to citr.ca and search What's the Story, you'll have all of this. And I provide links to where you can get tickets to any of these. Plus, I keep up with it. Like, I'll note if I find anything is sold out or if there's more added. So go check it out there. Cool, and that's all I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a great weekend.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's that?